Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I really wonder how often we really do get to know you. I really wonder how often well we know you. Seems like we're so preoccupied with all the other things of our life that we don't even spend time getting to know ourselves. But as we today worship you, help us to know you and walk with you. Help us to include you in all that we do. And help us to know that you don't walk with us as our judge, but rather as our friend. For we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. I've always loved the story of the Velveteen Rabbit. I have to be honest with you, I didn't ever read that as a child. I only read it when I was in my 30s. But there's a part of the story of the Velveteen Rabbit that I think is very, very real. And believe it or not, it's about what is real. Let me share that with you. What is real? Asked the rabbit one day. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle? Real isn't how you were made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you're real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges. Or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except the people who don't understand. You know, life is a journey. It's an adventure that we're on. An adventure whereby we really do get to know ourselves. You know, I'll never forget, probably now a good 30 years ago, hearing somebody say, you know, most of us that walk around this world are not human beings, although we claim we are, but we're really human doings. We measure ourselves on the things that we do. We evaluate ourselves on what our occupation is. We evaluate on what we own. Most of us don't really look at ourselves as beings. I take that one step further, and I get it from actually Bishop Tutu, who said once, he said, you know, many of us live as human doings when we're supposed to be human beings. But when you become a Christian, really, you are human becomings. You see, we're all in process. Most of us don't like change, though, so we fight that process. We stay right smack dab where we are. And yet everything in the scriptures that we have this morning, the reading from Exodus, the reading from Romans, the reading from the Gospel, talks about us becoming more of what we're called to be and a little bit less of what we are right now. I wonder how many of us are really on that journey. I wonder how many of us really participate in that. Because to participate in that, it means that we have to get to know ourselves and almost become a friend to ourselves. And most of us, we want to keep our own selves at arm's length. We like to sort of project ourselves out there, but we want to project out this image that's really not us. It's this thought that we have that this is what we should be. You know, the Apostle Paul says really clearly today in the book from Romans, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, when we begin to love, we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. But when you don't love yourself, well, how in the heck are you going to love your neighbor? And we've got to wake up, as Paul would say. In fact, he goes on to say very clearly, he says, besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. In other words, quit being asleep to the actual reality of what's going on around you, the presence of God in the world about you. Quit being asleep in your own little dream world of what you project your image should be. And rather, look at who you are. Look what you're becoming. And see whether or not you really are on the journey, the adventure of becoming. You know, I've hammered at this for the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to hammer at it again. Most of us are too busy trying to get our environments set the way we want to, but we do little about our own selves. We don't really get things in our own life settled. It's almost like it's so deep and it's so difficult that we've carried things from our childhood, from our earlier life, and it's like, well, that's just part of me. I can't get rid of it. Is it really a part of you? Or is it like an app on a cell phone? Something that if you hit the right buttons and make it wiggle, you can get rid of. You see, I really believe that as we grow older, no matter what age we are, we should be shedding things, not picking up more things. And yet most of us live our lives in chaos because we can't be at home with our own selves, so we definitely aren't at home with our neighbors. And sometimes those neighbors are the people that we actually live in the same house with. And one of the people that we live with always is ourselves. I used to always laugh about the fact that for many, many years I was single, and I'd say I live in a dysfunctional family and I live by myself. And that's because I wasn't at peace with inside myself. But when we come to the place where we realize that God really does love us, and he loves us so much that he will pass over all the things that are broken in us, that he will pass over us, as the book of Exodus teaches us, that he will pass over our sin, the things that separate us from him, that he will cover them. That's when all of a sudden we realize, wait a second, really, we do have that worth within us. Yeah, maybe the environment's all messed up. Maybe our own self is all messed up. But there is essence that's within us, the core of what we are, that's worth all of it if we get that mess out of the way. But we've got to wake up. And most of us would prefer to be asleep. To wake up means that we finally become our own friend. I came across a reading that I know from years ago that describes what is a friend. Let me read it to you. Friends are people with whom you dare to be yourself. Your soul can be naked with them. They ask you to put on nothing, only to be what you are. They do not want you to be better or worse. When you are with them, you feel as a prisoner feels who has been declared innocent. You do not have to be on your guard. You can say what you think as long as it is genuinely you. Friends understand those contradictions in your nature that lead others to misjudge you. With them, you breathe freely. You can avow your little vanities and envies and hates and vicious sparks. Your meanness and absurdities are in opening them to your friends. They are lost, dissolved on the white ocean of their loyalty. They understand. You do not have to be careful. You can abuse them, neglect them, tolerate them. Best of all, you can keep still with them. It makes no matter. They like you. They are like fire that purges to the bone. They understand. You can weep with them, sing with them, laugh with them, pray with them. Though it is all and underneath they see, know and love you. A friend. What is a friend? Just one, I repeat, with whom you dare to be yourself. You know, I think that's the struggle that all of us have. Most of us don't want to be ourselves. We all say, oh, I'm an open book. We all say, oh, what you see is what you get. But how many of us really are transparent with each other? I would not say it's safe to be transparent with everybody. But I would say that if you don't have at least one or two other human beings that you are transparent with, then you've never become a friend to yourself. And if you're not a friend to yourself, then how are you going to be a friend to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You see, that's what he asks of you, is to walk with him as a friend, hand in hand, revealing yourself, being yourself, celebrating yourself, laughing at yourself, and crying at the broken parts of yourself. A friend. I know this. Most of us have forgotten our ideals. We change our priorities from moment to moment depending on the situation we're in. But when we're a friend to ourselves, where we really finally get open and we love ourselves, even if it's only from moment to possibly another moment, there is something that happens inside ourselves that makes us feel innocent again. It makes us alive and not feel like I just got to keep my head above water. There's something that makes us have a joy that says, I'm grateful to be alive. And it's something that pushes us forward into the world that we can serve the people that cross our path that aren't so lovable. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing God is with you. And God is your friend. So I invite you to be his friend back. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.